Okay, it's kind of a rolling good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, it's good to see all of you this morning. Glad that you're here. And I've been picking on a few of them, asking them if they wanted to sing this morning, but nobody wants to sing, so we'll just preach. But hey, it's good to see all of you this morning. Glad that you're here. And I appreciate another opportunity. One more time that we can come into God's house to worship. You know what? There'll be a day that the Lord will return, and you know what? We'll be here no longer. There'll be a time that's appointed to us, the Bible says, that we'll see death, and at that moment, you know what? We'll be here no longer. We ought to thank God, and you know what? We ought to thank Him that we have the privilege to come in and worship Him this morning. I hope that's your heart's desire, that you come to want to worship Him. And I pray that if you're, I know some of you have been down and out this week, and we've talked, and I pray the Lord can encourage you this morning somehow. Most of all, I pray for that one here this morning that's not saved. Well, I pray that the Lord will get a hold of your heart, and this morning might be the morning that you trust Him as Lord and Savior. I've mentioned several times that I'm coming up on my 13th year anniversary of being saved, and how precious it is and how fast time flies by, but that's the greatest decision that I've ever made in my life. And I just wish everybody could experience what I've experienced these last 12 and a half years. And God's truly been good to me. And having said that, I sure thank Him this morning for all He's done for me. And He's been so good to me. But we'll be reading this morning, kind of flipping around. But I want to start in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter number 5. And we'll be also flipping to Genesis 3 and 2 Samuel chapter number 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11 and be dealing. And you can whichever one, if you want to go to all of those with me, that's fine. But I want to begin this morning in Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 7. And the Bible says, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Let us pray. Father, this morning, God, I need your help, Lord. God, we need your help this morning. God, I pray, Lord, one more time that you would help me preach, Lord, what you've laid on my heart, God, that I might be able to deliver it to these young men and women this morning, God, the way that you've showed it to me, Lord, these last couple of weeks. And God, I pray most of all, Lord, this morning for that one, Lord, that may not be saved. Lord, the one that come in just ready to give up on life, Lord, ready to run away from home, Lord, whatever the case may be, Lord, I pray for that one that's discouraged, God, and I pray that you would help them this morning. And God, most of all, Lord, I want to honor you this morning. God, help me to say only what you want me to this morning, nothing more, nothing less. And God, I'll be sure to give you the honor and the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Galatians 5 here, and I love this chapter. And if you read the whole chapter, what it's dealing with is basically our flesh and the spirit. And it's dealing with later on in the chapter, and it talks about walking in the spirit and how blessed we are and how blessings will come our way when we walk in the spirit. And it also talks about how the flesh can desire us and how it does and how we desire the flesh sometimes and how if we're not careful, even as a saved person, we can walk in the flesh. And I've often said this, that you know what, our flesh and our spirit's kind of like a seesaw. And whichever one of them that you feed the most is going to be dominant in your life. And if you walk in the flesh more than you walk in the spirit, then guess what? You're going to be dominated by the flesh. We're going to make silly and stupid and crazy decisions. But when we walk in the spirit, you know what? We'll make better decisions. We'll make good decisions. You know what? I've often said this, that any time that we're faced with a decision, we ought to ask this question, Lord, if I do this, will it be pleasing to you? And if the answer to that is yes, then you know what? Hey, it's okay to do it. But if the answer is no, then you know what? Hey, we ought to ask God, even forgive us for thinking of it. Because you know what? If the devil gets in our mind and he can and he will, you know what? He'll wreak havoc on our life. But here in verse chapter number 5, I've been really burdened, and my heart's been burdened for those that that I know and that I believe and has made a profession of faith, that means that you're a Christian, and you know what? You used to be on fire for God, but yet, for some reason, today, you're not. When I got saved, it's like the Lord placed a light bulb inside of me. And you know what? There's been times in my life, many times in my life, where I felt like I was so close to Him that, I mean, literally, He was standing beside me and we were having a conversation. And I do remember times in my life, too, where it seems like He was nowhere to be found and I was as far away from Him as a person could get. And that light that's inside of me that I get when I get saved, you know what? It can never go out. It can never go out. You can't lose your salvation. There's nothing I can do. I can't blow on it enough to sing it out. But you know what? It can grow so dim. It can draw so dim that nobody recognizes and realizes that you're any different than the world. And that, you know what? That the decisions you're making and what you're doing, there's no difference in that one out there that's a drunkard, or that one out there that, you know what, that could care less about God. But you know what? All it takes to make our light shine, number one, if it's dim, is for us to repent of our sins and ask God to help us and use us, and I promise you that He will. But the Scripture says that ye did run well. That means there was a time that, you know what, hey, you were on fire for God. Then it says, who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? The truth is this Word of God right here. This King James Bible, that's the truth. That's the truth this morning. Who did hinder you? What has hindered you? What is it that's caused your light to draw dim? Well, I can tell you what it's not right off. I know it's not the Lord. He'll never lead us astray. Hey, He'll never lead us down a path that we don't need to go down. You know what? He lets us make decisions in our life, and those choices that we make, you know what? That's our choice. It's not His. He allows things to happen when we make bad decisions. He allows those things to happen, not to punish us, but you know what? To draw us closer to Him. The Bible goes on to say, not only, it says, ye did run well, who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth, but this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. Meaning, it's not of the Lord, it's not of Him. Hey, He's not the one that calls us to do it. And then it says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And I want to stay right here for just a minute until I get into my lesson. But this morning in here, all of you, all of us, guess what? We're Holy Ground Baptist Academy. We're a lump this morning. I mean, we're all one. I mean, we're a family. And we're all one lump. And the Bible says that a little bit of leaven leaveneth the whole lump. A little bit of sin that comes in, and it may be you or you or you or whoever, but a little bit of sin, a little bit of leaven that comes into your life, that comes into our school, you know what? Can leaveneth, or you know what? Disgrace the whole school. As a Christian, you know what? You know what? A little leaven in my life, a little leaven in my life, a little sin in my life, guess what? Can leaven my lump, me as an individual. It can cause me not to have desires to be. It can cause me to do things I know I shouldn't do. It can cause me to take a wrong turn. Why are we so careful, and why are we so sometimes we want to know more, and why am I so hard on you sometimes? Why am I asking all these questions sometimes? Because number one, I do not want our lump to fall into this category, our school. Listen, my number one job is to protect this environment here. And it doesn't matter if that's not taking certain kids or if that's kicking certain kids out. That's my number one goal. And I believe the Lord placed on my heart when I first came here is to try to protect the environment. And you know what? If each one of us live the life that we should live, and listen, I'm not perfect. Paul said, I die daily. He says, the things that I know to do, I do not sometimes. The things I know not to do, I do. He had a struggle with the flesh too. We're going to have a struggle with the flesh too. You don't get saved and then everything is glorious from that day on and you never go through any trials or tribulations. But I will say this, you can go through those trials and tribulations with your head held high, knowing that one day you're going to heaven, and that, you know what, the devil is a liar, he's a deceiver, he'll trick you, and you know what, if you know that in your life, I believe, number one, that you'll want to stay close to God. And I want to preach on this thought this morning, the things that hinder our walk with the Lord. Some things that can hinder our walk from the Lord. And I want you to keep in mind that this scripture here in Galatians where it says that you did run well, and maybe you're here this morning, hey, you know what, man, that's you and you know it right now. Hey, you just hadn't lived like you used to live, and there's things that's crept up in your life, and you know what, you've been, boy, you used to run, boy, you used to run strong and well, but today, you're not. And I pray that the Lord would get a hold of your heart today. Hey, I know what it's like. Preachers, we're not exempt. Hey, we go through times in our lives, and I've been there where I've been depressed. You know what? I didn't want to get up out of bed. Hey, I've been talked about. I've been put down. I felt like nobody loved me. You know what? And that's fine. Just because I believe the Word of God, just because I'm trying, me and my family are trying to live a life that's pleasing to Him. And you know what? There's been times that I've literally not wanted to get out of bed. So is it even worth it, what we're doing? And then the Lord would say, yes, it is. You're being silly. But the things that hinder our walk with the Lord, and I got two passages of Scripture that I want to share with you this morning that I believe deals directly with this thing. 1 John, over in the book of 1 John, 1 John in chapter number 2, the Bible says this in verse 15, 16, and 17. Says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of this world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth, what? Forever. Forever. And I believe the things that we need to look out for, the things that hinder our walk with the Lord, are listed there in verse 16. The lust of the world, or lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now, I understand sometimes that as we go down the road, as we walk around, listen, our eyes see things. We see things all the time. I see trees. I see a road. I see children. I see a sanctuary. I see people. I see doors. I mean, we see things. And there's going to be times that we see things that we really don't want to. And you know what? But there's some times that our eyes begin to, and when it says lust of the eyes, that means we can't take our eyes off of something. And if we're not careful in our life, we'll get caught up in things that we don't need to. And we go back to the very beginning in Genesis, here after Adam and Eve were created and they were in the garden, and let me say they were in a perfect environment. There was no sin, had yet there was no sin there. They were in a perfect environment. They had all that they wanted. God said that they would provide all of their needs, and there were no needs for them at all. None. Yet in a perfect environment, we see in Genesis chapter number 3, that in verse number 6, that Eve was deceived. And this is what the Bible says. And when the woman, Eve, saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to have one wife, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave unto her husband also with her, and he did eat. Now back over in verse number 16, the Bible says this, and the Lord commanded man, saying, of every tree of the garden they mayest, that thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Adam being the head of his home there, and surely he knew, Eve knew what, that she couldn't partake of that tree. But yet, even, and the Bible says that he was there beside her and did eat too. In a perfect environment where there was no sin, the devil himself tricked, deceived Eve, and have taken of a tree that God had commanded Adam not to take of. And let me say this, if he can trick her in a perfect environment, don't think that you're too highly, you know what, that you're too spiritual, that you're too strong enough, that God or that the devil cannot trick you. hey, I'm not exempt for it. You're not either. And if we're not careful, I promise you, we'll be in a situation that we don't need to be in. We'll be in a place that we don't need to be in. We've made a mistake that we surely wish that we hadn't made. All because of the lust of the eyes. Eve, Bible says, saw, first of all, and listen, there's a pattern of this. Number one, she saw, first of all, that the tree was good for food. You know what? A lot of times I see that there's some things that my flesh sees that it wants, but it's not good for me. You know what? You may be faced, and our eyes are like a, and what we see sometimes, our mind, it's like it takes pictures of certain things. And throughout your life, you know what? Your mind will be like, it'll be certain things that you'll just remember and you'll never forget. I remember back in my life as a child, little child, certain things, certain places, doing this, playing here, this happened unto me. But certain things going on, I'll never forget them because in my mind, it's like a picture's been taken. And here we see that because of the lust of her eyes, she saw that the tree was good for food. And you know what? She made a mistake. And she took of that tree. And then we see the first sin here in the garden. The first sin of mankind in the garden is because Eve disobeyed God. Let me tell you this. You better be careful what you let your eyes see. There's a little song that the kids sing. Be careful. What is it? Be careful what your eyes see, whatever it is, what your ears hear. Where your hands, what your hands do, what your feet, where your feet go. You know what? We got to be careful what we let our eyes see. The older we get, we're exposed to more things, computers and phones and everything else. You know what? You got to be careful what you're watching, what you're seeing. Because you know what? You'll get something in your mind. All of a sudden, you'll see that it's pretty, it's good, it looks good. And then all of a sudden, in lust of the eyes, but then you'll see the lust of the flesh. You know what, you'll see it and it looks good and it feels good. And you know what, you'll desire to have more of it. And you know what, you'll convince yourself that, hey, man, this is okay. This is what I need. Man, this is pumping me up. This is exactly what I need. The lust of the flesh. But you know what, it starts with the lust of the eyes. And if we can guard that and protect our eyes from what we see, it's going to sure help us with the lust of the flesh. But here, the Bible says, the woman saw that the tree was good for food, the lust of the eyes, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, lust of the flesh. The devil had tricked her and said, look, what, don't you want to be wise too? God didn't say that you couldn't take of this tree. And yet, yet in the garden here, she was deceived. And you know what? From that moment on, our lives as human beings on this earth has been changed from this moment right here. And then over in verse number 13, she says this. Well, let me back up to verse 10. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? And hast thou eaten of the tree of God? I commanded thee not that thou shouldest not eat. And the man said, the woman who gave it to me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. And here God had known that they had sinned. God knew and he asked and they hid themselves because you know what? They knew that they had sinned. Let me say this in our life. What do you all do sometimes and we do sometimes when we, you know what? We try to hide it, don't we? Maybe, you know what? Maybe we know that we've done it. Our spirits are down and you know what? We try to hide it. And you may hide it from me, you may hide it from your parents, you may hide it from our school teachers, you may hide it from your best friends. Well, honey, let me tell you, you can't hide it from God. You cannot ever hide it from God. But here in verse number 12, God asked, why did you do this? And Adam blamed Eve. He said, it was her fault. And then in verse 13, the Lord God said unto woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat. She said, it's his fault. I mean, he tricked me and I eat of it. You know what? There's no excuses for sin. There's not. There's no excuses for it. Yes, we may fall into it and we will. But you know what? The very moment that we do it, if we're saved, that what lives inside of us, the Holy Ghost of God will convict our hearts. Nobody will have to tell you. Nobody will have to tell me that I've done wrong. Immediately, I know that I have sinned. And at that moment, that's when the Lord wants us to repent and ask forgiveness. At that moment, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. They didn't want to take responsibility for their actions. And doesn't that seem like the day that we live in? People want to blame each other instead of just saying, hey, it's my fault, it's me. People just want to blame somebody else. Hey, when we need to step up and take responsibility for our own actions if we've wronged our Lord and Savior. And not only do we see here in Genesis, but we also see over in 2 Samuel, we see the illustration here in the story with King David. Now, let's just think about this. The Bible says that what? King David was a man after God's own heart. David, this same David that as a boy went up against Goliath and said, listen, I'll go out and fight. I'm not scared. I've already killed a lion and a bear. What is this giant, this Philistine? What can he be? I'll go out and fight for God. And he said this. He said, but the battle is the Lord's. He didn't say, hey, I know I'm a little man, but I'm going to out-trick him or I'm going to outsmart him and somehow or another I'm going to kill him. You know what? He said, this isn't my battle. This battle is the Lord's. And can I say this morning, that this walk, this Christian walk that we're walking, this life that we're living, you know what? It's a battle between God and Satan. It is. Hey, it's a battle. Listen, the battle's already been won. At Calvary, listen, it was stamped, sealed. And you know what? One day when he comes back for us, it's going to be delivered and we're going to be in heaven with him. Hey, the big battle's already been done. It's already over. We're winners. The Christians, the true born-again believers, we're winners. But you know what? We can be on the winning team, but yet play no part in helping our team. David, after a man's own heart, he said, I'll go out, I'll fight this Philistine. And they mocked him. And then said, this little bitty kid, this big giant, and we know the story that David prevailed that day over Goliath. And as he said he would do, and he killed him. And you know what? And the Philistines ran, and God's people had a great victory that day. Just because David stood up and said, hey, the battle is the Lord's. And I say this morning, boy, it sure would be good if some of us would just stand up and say, hey, the battle is the Lord's. It's not my battle. Hey, the battles that I go through in life, if I try to work them out myself, you know what? I'll never get them figured out. The battle is the Lord's this morning. And then we see later on in life, King David grew, and his army was out fighting, and David should have been there with his army fighting, But yet King David was at his home there on and from the rooftop we read that he sees this woman Bathsheba. And over in 2 Samuel chapter number 11, and the Bible says here, I think it's in verse number 5 or not verse number 4, and we see that David's great sin in chapter number 11. I'm going to just start at the verse number 2. It says, and it came to pass in the evening tide that David arose from off his bed, and he walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof, what did he do? He saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Now think back for just a moment. Eve, what did she do to start with? She saw that the tree was good for food. Her eyes, she saw it was good. Here in with David from the rooftop, it says he saw a woman washing herself. David, had he been where he should have been, would have never saw Bathsheba this day. Let me say this: if we're at the places or in the places or we're going to the places that we should go, then you know what? We're going to be okay. But when we start going to places that we should not go, when we start hanging around with people that we should not hang around with, when we start doing things that we know in our heart grieve the Holy Spirit, we better be careful or we're going to find ourselves in the same predicament that Eve and Adam did and that David did here in chapter 11. You know what? All of a sudden, our eyes are going to be fixed on something and we're not going to be able to take them off. he saw that the woman was beautiful. And washing herself, the woman was so beautiful to look upon. And verse 3 said, and David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is not this Bathsheba the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And he sent for her, he saw her, and then that's the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh here. He sends for her, he wants her. Then she's not his wife. And somebody even speaks up and said, hey, isn't this Uriah's wife? David, you don't need to do this. This is Uriah's wife. You don't want to do this. This is committing adultery. This is sinning against God. But from the rooftop, she looks so beautiful. Probably watched her for some time. But you know what? He desired to have her. The lust of the flesh here. Verse number 4, and David sent, after he'd been told that that was someone's wife, verse 4 said, and David sent messengers and took her, and she came unto him, and he lay with her. He committed adultery. David, I mean a man after God's own heart, lust of the eyes. He saw that she was beautiful, the lust of the flesh. He desired to have her, and he took her in into his home. Another man's wife made a great sin out of it. Lust of the flesh. Listen, don't think, and I say it again, don't think that you can't get caught up on something in something. I'm telling you, if we're not careful, we'll be just like David. We'll be just like Adam, just like Eve. Hey, we've been commanded, you know the truth. Hey, if you're saved, you know the truth. You know what's right. The Holy Spirit lives in you. When you get off the wrong, onto the wrong path, hey, it'll tell you. It's your job at that moment to get back where you need to be. And how do we get back to where we need to be? We repent of our sins. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And then we can get back to where we need to be. Thank God for forgiveness. Amen. Thank God at Calvary, Christ died for the sins of the whole world, that each one of us might have the opportunity to be saved. Lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, David here took of her. And then we see, I want you to see the pride of life in David's life here. We're talking about things that hinder our walk from the Lord, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And there's more. These are just three. But here, after he had taken Bathsheba in, the Bible says that she was conceived and she told David that I am pregnant, I'm a child. And we see here that David said in verse 8, and David said, go to Uriah, go down to the house and wash his feet. And Uriah departed from the king's house. But you know what? He would not. David sent for Uriah. Uriah was out fighting for Israel. And David sent for him. And David brought him in and was wanting him to go home. And David was trying to cover up his sins. He was trying to cover them up. He knew, yes, I have wronged, but he was trying to cover them up. I believe there's a passage in the Bible there where Achan sold some land and you know what? And they were supposed to give it all to God and him and his, they hid some under their tent. And when God had questioned him about it, and he said, yes, I hid some and I kept some back. And the Bible says that God killed them because of their disobedience. And here David trying to cover up his sins, and Uriah come out of the battle, come to David, the king's place. And David said, go home with your wife. And the Bible says that he didn't. He stayed there and slept there on the porch because he said, how can I go home and be with my wife when Israel and the Ark of the Covenant is in a battle and up for grabs? He said, how can I do this thing? Uriah was a man of great integrity. And it made David mad, and David said on over, he said, well, he sent a letter in verse 15, and he wrote a letter and saying, set Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him that he may be smitten and die. And when David knew that he could not cover up his sin, when he knew that, you know what, it was going to come out that he was his sin. And listen, the Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. They will. You may hide them for just a little while, but I promise you, sooner or later, they're going to find you out. Sooner or later. So David here, after he realized he wasn't going to be able to cover it up, he told his general, Satan, put him at the very front of the hottest battle. I mean, put him out there, and when y'all start fighting, he said, draw everybody else away but him so that they'll kill him and that he might die. Pride of life. David didn't want to take responsibility for his sin, for what he had done. David, again, not only did he lust of the eyes, he saw the lust of the flesh, he took her, the pride of life, he tried to cover it up time and time again. A man after God's own heart, think about this. And I'll say again, don't think that you're too spiritual and you're too close to God that the devil can't trick you. Honey, I'm telling you what, hey, you can be on fire for God today and tomorrow. You know what? You can be sick at your stomach, in your closet, not wanting to come out, knowing that, you know what? Hey, you have fallen. All of us, and I mean all of us, are not exempt from that. The Bible says that Uriah was killed in the battle. Not only did David lie a few times, but you know what? He committed adultery, yes, but he committed murder. As he sent him forth and said, you know what? We'll just kill him that way. You know what? Nobody will know. They'll think it's his. Let me say this. The Bible says there's fun. Sin's fun for a little season. But after that, you know what? There's judgment. Yes, God forgives our sins. And I'm thankful that God forgives our sins. If we truly are heartbroken and we seek him and we say, Lord, I'm sorry and I truly know that I've sinned. Hey, he is faithful and just to forgive us. And I'm glad of that. I'm so glad this morning that, hey, he's a forgiving God. He cried. That's why he sent his son to die, though he could die for all the sins of the world. And I'm so thankful for that. But the pride of life, and maybe that one is the hardest for some of us, is we don't like to admit that we're wrong. We don't like to admit that, hey, it's me, not you. You know what, it's me. I've heard this saying so many times, the devil made me do it. I hear it all the time from the little kids, even sometimes from the big. The devil made me do it. The devil ain't made you do anything. He hadn't. Yes, he may trick us and lie to us, and you know what, he may help. And listen, for a Christian, we're saved, we're going to heaven. You cannot lose your salvation. One day we're going to be in the presence of our Lord forever. But you know what? The devil can make our life miserable here on this earth if we allow him to. Hey, that's his goal for me now, is to make me miserable, to make, you know, for me to be hindered, for things to go astray in my life, for me to make bad choices, that you know what? I fall like David. That I might try to cover up like David. That I might try to lie my way out of things like David. That's his desire today. Let me say for you, Christian, that's his desire for you too. That's why it's important that we fellowship with other peoples of like faith. Hey, I mean, you ought to have friends that believe like you, that think like you, hey, that act like you, that dress like you, hey, that believe like you do. Hey, that's what you need in your life. You don't need these other things. Trust me. You say, I've heard this. Well, you know what? I know he's lost, or I know she's lost, and they're not acting right, but I'm going to be that witness to them. And thank God that you've got a heart to witness to them. But you got to be careful not to get too close to them. Hey, I can give you a personal example of it. Me and my wife met 20 years ago at West Georgia. And we've been married almost coming up on 17 years. But I met her, and at that time I was a lost person. Hey, I was a good boy. I was. I grew up. I had many friends. I mean, I was a good person. I'd do anything that I could for anybody. And I know I had my faults, but I was a good boy. I was. My wife was saved, and we met, and you know what? Hey, you know, man, she fell in love with me like that. I mean, boy, she was hooked. She was. She's back there in the back. You ask her when you leave. But you know what I did too? Boy, I was hooked. I thought, my goodness. Yet I'm saved, and she's saved, and I'm lost. And the Bible says not to be unequally yoked. And let me say this, that you ought not date somebody if you're dating, and I don't believe in that, but you ought not date somebody that ain't a saved person. Because you said, hey, you know what? You're taking a chance. And you say, well, Brother Greg, you did it, and it worked out for you. And I thank God today, and let me say that I am blessed, and God, I thank him that, you know what, that we were able to see and not be deceived with some things. And I'm glad that the Lord convicted my heart and saved me. Hey, we were lucky. We were. But you ought not date somebody that's not saved. I don't care how pretty they are, how much money they got, or what it is about. You ought not do it. You ought not marry somebody that way. That's what the Bible says. But Anita thought this, and our testimony as a couple, she thought, well, you know what? I've been raised in church my whole life from a baby. Hardly ever missed a day. And I'll get him in church, absolutely. But you know what happened? It wasn't that she got me in church, it's that I got her out of church. And some of you try to justify that. Well, I've got to be a witness. Don't get too close to him. Yes, you can be a witness. Your life that you live, the choices you make, the decisions that you make, those things, listen, people see those. And you know what? You don't have to get too close. Hey, they see you, and if your light's shining bright, they see that you're different, and they're going to want what you've got. I've got her out of church. And I've probably shared this with y'all before, but it took my Emily at 3 months old, little bitty baby. God got my attention through my child. Here I was, knowing that I wasn't right, wasn't living right, but just didn't know, kind of ashamed. Lord put my little baby in the hospital, and to make a long story short, we didn't know if she's going to live or not. God knew what it was going to take to break my heart. Let me say this, God knows what it's going to take to break your heart. Some of you are so stubborn and so hard-headed, and I'm telling you, you better listen to him before he breaks you. I have this saying I've always said in my Sunday school class, God told me, hey, we can do things my way, or we can do things my way. At first, my way, he gives us the opportunity to do what we're supposed to do, but you know what? He'll break you somehow. All of us have a breaking point. Not long after that, I accepted Christ as my Savior. And from that moment on, we've tried to live a life pleasing to him. We dedicated our children back to him and say, God, thank you for them. Hey, they're yours, and I know it's our job to keep up with them and making sure they're safe and teach and train them, but they're yours, Lord. I want to tell you this morning, some of you's at that point, and I believe in my life, the Lord showed me, there's some people here this morning, you're at that point, if you don't give in to God, he's fixing to break you. I know how that feels. Here I am standing by her hospital bed. Couldn't move, couldn't leave her side. I stood there for probably 15 hours. Just stood there, couldn't do anything but just look at her and cry. They did all these tests on her. My wife finally had to go home and get us some clothes because we was going to have to stay in the hospital for some days. And the doctor told us that... daughter's probably got spinal meningitis, and that week that she was born, two kids in Carroll County had died from spinal meningitis. In the back of my mind, I'm thinking my baby's going to be the third. I'm standing there, didn't know what to say, didn't know the Lord, couldn't pray, didn't know how to. But I just know this, I was just hoping my baby was going to be okay. And on the way home somewhere, and I'm not sure where, but on the way home, my wife, she got down on her knees and she cried out to God. And I mean, she said, Lord, if you just please help my baby to be okay. If you just help her to be okay, we'll go to church without him. He said, hey, he's got me out, but you know what? We'll go without him. If he don't want to go with us, that's fine. We're going to go. Please help my baby. She goes home and gets her clothes, comes back a few hours later. We're doing different tests, and here I am still standing at the bedside, just a mess. She felt, boy, she come in, and there's just something different about her. I knew that she just felt she had a better peace about what was going on than I did. And I didn't understand that. I was thinking, man, our baby's going to die. But there was something different about her. Listen, she had made things right with God. God had forgiven her. And you know what? Hey, she had a peace about it, even though she didn't know what the outcome was going to be. And I say it was just a few hours later that the doctor come in and he said, Mr. and Miss Yancey, Y'all give us about 15 minutes and y'all can take your baby home. Says she's okay. Said when the lady drew blood in the ER last night, said she must have got bacteria somehow in the blood and said, your baby's just got a virus. She's okay. Y'all just take her home. God heard her prayer. But God broke me during this time. And that's what it took. Let me say, don't you get to that point in your life where God will break you. You don't want to be there. It's not a feeling that you want to feel. It's not something that you want to go through. We took our baby home and we loved on her. We tried to love on her ever since, both of them. They're so precious. But he knew what it was going to take in my life. And I promise you this, we are one of a few that I know of that has made it, gotten married when we're unequally yoked. And our marriage has survived. And I love my wife today, and I know I could be a whole lot better to her than I have been. Boy, we've been through some trials and some tribulations together. But you know what? This morning I stand here and say I would trade nothing for my journey. Nothing. I don't kill nothing. Nothing. Yes, I wish I'd accepted him earlier in my life. Sure, I wish I was saved. You young kids, some of them saved and grow up in a Christian school. Sure, that would have been great. Let me say this. If you're not careful, you'll be like Eve. You'll be like Samuel. You'll be like others. You know what? We'll fall if we're not careful. Because the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. You know what? I don't have to tell some of y'all. I can just be around some of y'all. I can just be around in one day. You know, throughout the day, at the end of the day, I probably could write down some names on a piece of paper that something's going on in their life. Maybe not, don't know exactly what it is. But you know what? I know something's going on. You know why? Because the way you act, the way you look, the way you carry yourself. Y'all can tell when I don't feel good. You can. Sometimes I may be ill. Sometimes, man, I may have headache. Y'all can tell when I don't feel good. Let me say this morning. God wants to use all of us. Hey, he's got a plan for each one of your lives. And I can tell you this. I don't know exactly what road he's going to take you down, but I can tell you this. He wants you on that road of righteousness, not unrighteousness. He wants you on that road that you know what, that you're going to be able to do a great work for him and not do a work for the devil. You know what, if we're not careful, we'll lead people onto the wrong path when we get out of God's will. But I beg you this morning, listen, I'm just sharing my heart with you. I don't like telling that story. But I shared my heart with you this morning because the Lord told me to. There's some of you in here that's never accepted him as Lord and Savior. You're not saved, and I'm telling you right now, you know it, and your heart's beating, and you know good and doggone well that you need to be saved, and I sure pray that you move this morning. Some of you have told me that you're not. I sure hope you move this morning. Listen, God's not a respecter of persons, the Bible says. You know what? People die every day. We get today's newspaper opened up, there'll be obituaries in the newspaper. There'll be a picture in there and maybe some words about that person and their family. I wonder tomorrow or the next couple of days, that might be one of you. Never know. Never know. But I can say this. I know today that I am not exempt. Hey, it can be me that falls tomorrow. It can be you. We need to live right, do what's right, so that we'll make better decisions in our life. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. These things will cause us great harm. And my question to you this morning is this. What is it in your life that may be hindering your walk with him? Maybe right now there's things, something's going on in your life and it's hindering you. You know what? You know what? You come give it to God. He'll forgive you of it. Maybe there's things that you see on the horizon that's going to be a hindrance in your life. You've got choices to make. I pray this morning that you come up here and beg God not that you'll make the right decision when that time comes. Some of you is going to be making decisions where you go to college next year. You know what? You need to get God involved in that. Don't try to just go where you want to go. Some of you wanting to do things on the weekends and are doing things on the weekend you shouldn't be doing. You know not right. You know what? You need to make a decision today, right here today, that you know what? This weekend I'm not going to go there, not going to do that. Because I can tell you when that time and that opportunity comes, you know what? Our flesh, a lot of your flesh, a lot of our flesh isn't going to be strong enough to withstand it. We need to make those decisions now. I made a bunch of mistakes in my life. Well, I have. I'm so thankful that the Lord has forgiven me. And I'm so thankful today that I'm able to be used of Him. And I hope one day when you're all my age that you can look back and say, you know what? I know what He was talking about. But I want you to be able to say, I'm glad that I listened to Him. And I'm glad that I got in the Word. And I'm glad I got in a good church. I'm glad that I didn't date somebody and marry somebody that's not saved. I'm glad I didn't do those things. I kept my virginity. I'm glad that I didn't go out and smoke dope and drink and do all these things. I'm glad I didn't do all these things. And I'm glad somebody told me what was right and wrong. I'm glad that I love my Bible. I'm glad that I love my church. I'm glad I love my pastor. I'm glad that, you know what, my parents made a decision to put me in a Christian school. I'm glad. And Lord, I thank you that I am where I am. I hope some of you can look back one day and say that. And I'm telling you, time, the Bible says life's like a vapor. Here for just a moment, and then what? Vanishes away. It won't be long. Some of y'all will be 40. Won't be long. What things are hindering you in your life? Miss Melissa, if you'll come on to the piano for me this morning. I want us to all stand this morning together. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please don't look around this morning. And let me say number four. One thing, too, that we lack so often is an unforgiving heart. A lot of times, people hurt us. We get caught up. We get hurt. People hurt our feelings. And you know what? We got that unforgiving heart. That'll be a hindrance in your life. There's been a period of time in my life, months, that I had an unforgiving heart for a certain family because they come against us. Not right after we got saved, right after I got saved and got in church. And the Lord taught me that I couldn't do nothing for Him when I had an unforgiving heart. Maybe you're in here this morning, somebody's hurt you, and you know what? You won't forgive them. You better forgive them or you're going to be miserable until you do. The Bible says our Heavenly Father won't forgive you if you don't forgive them. Listen, we're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes, sure. But this morning, listen, I believe there's some that need to do business with God. Listen, I ask you to close your eyes and bow your head because I don't want anybody looking around. I don't want the, maybe you're there, you may be nervous or whatever. Hey, you may be just a little bit scared or whatever. Listen, this is a serious time. No looking around. No horse playing. But listen, these altars are open. And as she begins to play, listen, maybe you just want to step out and come down. Say, oh God, that's me. That's me, Lord. I need to be saved. Oh Lord, that's me. I need to get things right in my life. Be anybody this morning that would like to come and just talk to the Lord. Be any that would just say, Brother Greg, I just want to make a difference. Well, I want to live better than I'm living. I want to do more than I'm doing. God's been good to me, but I sure don't want to get caught up on anything. Be anybody that want to come this morning? Anybody else? Many in the altar here. Anybody else want to come? Anybody this morning say, Preacher, that's me. lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Hey, God knows right where you are this morning. I don't know, but He does. I believe He would want you to, this morning, He's laid something on your heart. He's convicted your heart for salvation. Why don't you move this morning? You may not have another chance. This may be your last opportunity. Why don't you move? Maybe He's calling you into service. Hey, you've been saved, but you've never really done anything for Him, but you want to. You know what? Why don't you come down and just say, Lord, here I am. I don't know what I can do, but whatever You want me to, I'll do it. Hey, maybe things are great in your life. Things are going good. You're serving Him. Hallelujah. Boy, y'all are just praising for it. This morning, won't you come?